Well, there was a session meeting with the St. Mark's elders last week, and John Ferrier was there. And I was talking to him about this Sunday coming up, and I just said sort of in passing, what is there to say about Transfiguration? We talk about it every year. It's part of the church year, and it's an important part of the church year. And you sometimes think, at least most of us, I suspect, have this feeling that when we've done something a bunch of times, we've sort of done everything there is to do. And then I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, have we? It's a familiar story for those of us who have grown up in the church. We hear how Jesus took a couple of his disciples, and he went up to the top of this mountain, and he was transfigured. He was changed in some way. And we see that he met Moses and Elijah in a miraculous sort of way and talked with them. And then Peter said, well, why don't we just stay here forever? It seems wonderful. And we don't know everything that's going on in this story, as is frequently the case. Every once in a while, people will tell me that, you know, of all the many things that are wrong with sort of the Bible or Holy Scripture in general, is that you can't really understand it, so what good is it? To which I usually respond, well, that's true, but can you really understand anything about great literature, for that matter? There's always more there in things that really matter. In profound works of art, we always find new things. Not because they've been hidden so much before, but as we change, we bring new perspectives to things. And as I was thinking about the Transfiguration, the thing that struck me again, but perhaps in a slightly different way, is Peter saying, well, it's good for us to be here, and if you want, I'll put up three shelters, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, and presumably we'll just stay on the ground, and we'll just hang out here for a while. It comes back to this question again. Can we stay on the mountain? Mountains have a long history of profound experiences with people, religious and or otherwise. Now, I was listening to a podcast of the NPR show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and they had Neil deGrasse Tyson on there. He's a astrophysicist, frequently referred to as the smartest man on television, and a few other things. And he's a brilliant scientist in many ways. And the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a news quiz show with humorists and things. So it's very good. If you've never heard it, I strongly recommend it. It's quite fun. But they were asking him about a number of questions, and something came up, sort of this idea that when you go to the planetarium or something like that, it's the best way to go to a planetarium show. Somebody actually asked him this. When you're high. And he said, said for him, when he looks at the skies, and he doesn't need to go to a planetarium, when he goes to the top of a mountain, he looks at the sky, he says there's this euphoria that comes over him that is better than any kind of chemical assist it would ever be. And I think we've experienced the same sort of thing in lots of different ways. And it so frequently happens on mountains. I've heard all kinds of people who climb mountains, and I've known some, and they talk about this extraordinary feeling when they get there. And it's not just the feeling of having accomplished something difficult. You know, it's a different feeling than running a marathon or seeing your kids finally graduate from high school, whatever the long haul thing you do is. There's something extraordinary about that experience for them. We can even experience it here in the prairies on hills. There's something different, it seems, about getting to the top of something. And then we look out and there's these extraordinary opportunities. And we see sacred mountains in many of the world's religions. And we see it all through Scripture. In Exodus, where we read before, Moses is called up to the top of a mountain. And it's not that God can't meet us here on the level ground in a valley or wherever else it might be. When we go to the top of a mountain, one of the things about a top of a mountain is that it's physically smaller than anywhere else. I mean, that's how mountains work. They don't get bigger towards the top. They get smaller. They focus things. There's all kinds of things in there that I think connect with who we are as people. And when we get to the top of a mountain, often extraordinary things happen. And in Scripture, many of these extraordinary things explicitly involve God. Moses went to this mountain and spent 40 days and 40 nights there with God. Came down with the law, with the Ten Commandments, with this new relationship between God and people. And we don't know all that happened up there on that mountain. Scripture is silent about, certainly about the details. But I would be willing to guess that when Moses was up there, it must have at least crossed his mind. Can I just stay up here? In this connection with God that was brand new, in a way that was obvious to people who were on the plains below, that something was going on in this mountain. We don't know what Moses and God talked about or how they connected, but obviously they did. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Moses at least wondered if he could just stay there. We talk about this in popular culture. How many times have you heard somebody talk about a mountaintop experience? And a mountaintop experience almost always revolves around some kind of new insight, some kind of new understanding. Something extraordinary happens, and we describe it as a mountaintop experience because of this ongoing view of what can happen on mountains. Well, when we look at, in particular, these two texts, meeting God on this mountain transfigured Jesus, but it also transfigured Moses. When we read further, we see that when Moses came down from the mountain after an interaction with God, his face glowed. There's something different about him. In all three of the Synoptic Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's specific mention of how on this mountain Jesus was changed. He was transfigured. Something different happened. Now with Moses, the transition was a fleeting one. He came down from the mountain after talking to God, and his face glowed, and then he put a veil over his face so people couldn't see it fade. And we don't know the exact details of how Jesus was changed, but this transfiguration that he had. I mean, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. We don't know how long that lasted or all that means, but something happened on the mountain that made a profound difference. And it's not unreasonable to want to stay where places of profound difference have happened. I don't know if this was ever your experience when you were younger, perhaps even now. But I remember as a child, I don't have as many memories as I'd like, but I certainly have some, of going on vacation with my family. Various places. Sometimes we went to national parks and things, but often we would visit my mother's parents at their farm down around Aneroid. And I can remember more than once asking my parents if we could just stay there. Because it was so different. It was so much better. We want to stay on the mountain. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to stay on the mountain. But when we say that we want to stay there, we're demonstrating not just a desire, but we're also demonstrating a fundamental misunderstanding of what a mountaintop experience is or should be, and what transfiguration is. Because the difference between Moses' experience on the mountain and Jesus' experience was this profound change in a way that didn't disappear. Now, when Jesus came down from the mountain, his face was not still shining like the sun, and his clothes were still not as white as the light. But I think one of the reasons why Jesus tells his disciples, "Don't tell people what you've seen until I'm risen from the dead," it's because this profound change had happened within him. And he didn't want change to get in the way of people understanding who he was. A mountaintop experience changes us forever. Maybe not as much as we would like it to, or maybe not as much as we think it might at first. And the thing that we need to remember is that mountaintop experiences don't only happen on mountains. There seems to be something special about that. But a gracious God can meet us anywhere. I don't climb mountains. Not that I'm particularly afraid of heights, or perhaps more correctly, I'm not particularly afraid of edges. But I just never climb mountains. Maybe within range of the Rockies when I lived in Edmonton. But there really haven't been a lot of mountains around us. It's just not a thing that I've done particularly. I climbed hills, but not mountains. If I'm waiting to be at the top of a mountain to have God meet me, I'm going to wait a long time then. But I've had many what I would call mountaintop experiences. Profound opportunities to interact with God where I understand God in a new way, and then I'm changed forever. I'm transfigured in a similar way to the way Jesus was. Not because I was at the top of a mountain, any more than because Jesus was at the top of a mountain. The location, the geography wasn't the issue. It was the interaction with God that was the issue. And as Jesus met with God, and as Moses met with God, they happen to be at the top of a mountain, but we meet with God anyway. And we can have that same level of internal transfiguration that they did. Because a gracious God is willing to meet us wherever we happen to be. That's one of the best parts about God. About this new way in which we live, being New Testament people. But being people with a connection to the true God is that we don't have to go somewhere. Because God is with us always. When we have these transfiguring experiences, wherever they might be, for many of us they happened at summer camp. For some of us they happened in Sunday school when we were younger. But they also happened in connection with people in all sorts of places, where we suddenly had a new understanding of our place in the universe and how loved and valuable we are. And in that blinding moment of new understanding, we want to just stay there and soak it in. We want to stay there because we know at a certain level that when we leave that place, just like with Moses, the obvious effects will begin to fade. Frequently, when we have these mountaintop experiences, we find ourselves overwhelmed with a sense of love for all people, and then we go home and we meet our siblings. And our siblings, being exactly as human as we are, begin to chip away at this sense. And we'd like to stay on the mountain, and we'd like to stay there so nothing would ever interfere with this, but that's not the purpose of being transfigured. The purpose of being transfigured is to change us and then have us take that change to wherever we go. And to bring the reality of that experience, whether it happened on top of a mountain or it happened in your bedroom, to take it to wherever it needs to go. To take that renewed sense of who you are and who people are in relationship to God, to the creator of the universe, to take that with us wherever we go. And yes, some of the glory might fade, and that's okay. But one of the things about these sorts of experiences is that we are changed, and we are changed forever. There's lots of different ways to think about it, but one of the ones that I have found useful is that when we have these changes in our lives, when we have these profound experiences with God, that we would look at and use the language of mountaintop or whatever we might use. We sometimes feel that as we lose the immediacy of that experience, as we lose that sense of closeness, we sometimes think that, well, we're going to just go back to the way we were before. But we can't, and we won't. We've been moved to another level. And it's like when you're walking up the stairs in a building, and after you've gone past, you know, however many flights of stairs, when you're on a particular floor, these experiences, in a sense, close the door behind you. And when you get on this new floor, on this new flight of stairs, you might go back down a few steps. But you've been changed in such a way that you can't go down to the floor below anymore. That part's over. You have moved past that. And you might spend some time on that particular flight of stairs before you get to the next floor, going up and down and up and down and up and down. And sometimes you'll feel that you've just gone, that all you're doing is going backward. But you're never going to go to the floor below. or the floor of Rigel Vatr. You're never going to go back to ground level, if you will. These moments of transfiguration that we see happening to Jesus, that we see happening to Moses, that we read about where Paul had that experience on the road to Damascus, when we hear of these experiences all through church history, when Luther had that experience in the storm, whatever we want to look at. What we see is we see people who have interacted with God in a way that has changed them forever. They have moved to a new way of being. And it's tempting to want to stay on that mountain. But one of the things that happens when we come down is that we bring that transfiguration with us. We don't leave it behind on the mountain. We don't have to stay on the mountain because the experience stays with us. And we will continue to work out the various realities of these experiences that happen wherever we are. So it's tempting to want to stay there. But if Jesus didn't stay there, and if Moses didn't stay there, we probably shouldn't either. And I don't know today what kind of mountaintop experiences you may have had, and how long ago they were, and how much of a difference they made then. But one of the things that I can tell you is that the differences that happened in those profound experiences of encountering the living God, the results continue to this day. Those opportunities that you had for that deeper understanding, for this new way of thinking, have changed you forever and made you into the people you are today. And you will keep moving forward in those directions because God has begun that process, and He won't finish it until it's finished. He's not going to quit early. So as we've all walked down the mountain, we've brought those experiences with us. And our transfigured inner worlds continue to affect who we are today and every day. We wanted to stay on the mountain, but we came down because this is where we need to be. I pray that this day we will all understand that as Jesus came down from this mountain, He came down to make a difference in the lives of the people around Him and all people everywhere. We might not have that level of effect, but we came down the mountain. We might make that kind of a difference in the lives of the people around us and continue to become the people we were created to be. Amen.